two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. We should just call this Jazz Notes Daily, Austin. This is Austin Facer.
Yeah.
Austin Facer joining me here on the, we'll call it the Jazz Notes Daily podcast, at least for today. By the way, it's late Sunday night. It is right after the Utah Jazz got humiliated by the Houston Rockets.
Quite frankly, yes, that's accurate. Yeah,
that was an ugly game. By the way, we're going to have Jazz Notes podcast. If you haven't heard, we're going to have Jazz Notes podcast every day during the playoffs. It's late Sunday night. So this is our initial reactions right after the Utah Jazz lose to the Houston Rockets. And it was an ugly game. The closest it was really in the first quarter. No, I lied. Okay. The third quarter, actually, the Jazz made a nice run. The Jazz were down by 15 points at the half. They made a nice run and cut it to 5. And then Houston went on a huge run, and the Utah Jazz lose this game. 122-90
Yikes.
In this game. Austin and I, we're going to give our two things we like, two things we didn't like in this game. And the floor is yours, Austin.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What is... This might be tough. I think there are a lot of things you can say I don't like in this game. Give me something you did like in this game.
The positives were hard to find, admittedly. I think collectively, as a team, this was not the Jazz's best effort. I think that's, you know, to say the least. Two things, though, that I did like. I think you do have to like that third quarter, like you mentioned. The Jazz, in the first half, seemed like they had like a really unusual defensive strategy, especially on James Harden, where they were shading him, kind of preventing him from going to his left, playing slightly behind him to prevent his step back jumper. There was a strategy that the Milwaukee Bucks used earlier in the year against the Rockets and had a little bit of success with. So I think that's what the Jazz were trying to do, but it did not work at all. And I think Quinn Snyder realized that at halftime. They scrapped that plan and played a better third quarter, but ultimately, you know, the ball had been rolling for the Rockets, and they were able to, you know, really blow them away, especially in the fourth quarter.
If you're going to play a defense like that, Austin, I think you need length on the floor. And Jeremiah and I talked about this last time we were on the Jazz Notes podcast, and that was the fact that the Jazz really needed to find a way to keep James Harden as much in check, but we kind of thought maybe you ought to let him go off. But when it came to the defense they played, and we talked a little bit about this, The one thing that James Harden did that combated that completely was as soon as the Jazz would start shading him just a tiny bit, mm-hmm. he would just rush to the basket.
Yeah, totally.
So it, in a way, it worked because you didn't get a lot of step-back threes.
Mm-hmm.
When, of course, he was very effective when he did get the step-back threes because he was able to hit those. But on the other hand, it kind of worked because they were forcing him to go to the basket. The bad news about that was he was able to find open guys all over the floor because whoever was guarding him was so far behind.
Oh, yeah.
And the other guys were rotating so poorly, mm-hmm. or at least rotating slowly, that's my opinion, mm-hmm. that it just did not work. And so we're going to have to wait and see what kind of adjustments the Jazz are going to make. So I guess that was a good thing. The Jazz did make a little bit of a comeback.
It was good to see that they recognized what wasn't working and, you know, scrapped that. I mean, that's not much of a positive, but, you know, we'll give them a little credit for that.
Hey, and they one quick thing. They trimmed a 15-point lead.
Yeah.
Again, we set down to 5. Unfortunately, ended up 12, but it was 12, right? They cut 3 points off the lead. We're trying to come up with positives here. Okay, what's another thing you liked in this game?
The other thing I liked was I thought Derek Favors played a better game than I was expecting. I think a lot of people were expecting, you know, maybe to see Jay Crowder in the starting lineup, especially considering the Rockets kind of play with smaller lineups. But Quinn Snyder went with Derek Favors today, and I thought that was well deserved. Of the two, Favors certainly played a much better game than Crowder. Favors finished with 13 points, 6 rebounds, shot 5 for 8, while Crowder had 9 points but was 1 for 9 shooting.
The only thing that saved him was the free throw line.
Seriously, yeah. I say this all the time when we watch Jay Crowder play. The man is not afraid to shoot 3-pointers at all. He loves them. He loves making fun of me on Media Day like he did earlier this year. That's a story for another day, though. Jay Crowder, I thought, was really detrimental to the Jazz tonight. So
yeah, and you saw a lot of different members of the media here in the Salt Lake City market who are making comments about Jay Crowder, not only because of his shooting, but also because of his defense. And it just happens that way. You have bad games, both mm-hmm. shooting and defense, and he was a detriment tonight. Weren't we talking about positives here in a second? We were talking about Derek Favors. It devolved into Jay Crowder.
That's just the way it went tonight. Yeah.
Real quickly, I'm going to give one of my positives. You gave it to a guy that hadn't played the last couple of games. Because he did play against Denver and Derek Favors. I'm going to talk about Ricky Rubio. He came out and played in this game, and I thought he was fantastic. If you don't look at the plus-minus, I actually thought he played well early in this game to keep the Jazz kind of going.
He was the aggressor, for sure. Definitely, he was getting to the rim, trying to make plays. I would definitely agree with that.
5 for 11 from the field, only 1 for 3 from three-point land, and 4 for 4 from the free-throw line. He ended up with 6 assists in this game, 15 points. So that's one of my positives on the night. It was great to see Ricky Rubio come out and be aggressive, especially since he's had injuries, he hasn't played a lot, but it sure didn't look like he was having a problem, at least on the offensive end early.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I liked about this game, how about Donovan Mitchell's shoes? Can I go with that?
They were cool. They were cool.
They were nice.
I'm a shoe guy. I thought they were cool.
Yeah. I mean, we knew what they were looking like. We knew what they looked like before this game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll go with that because really, let's be honest, there just weren't a lot of positives in this game.
No, no. And if I could flip that positive into a negative, they came off at one point during the game early.
That's true.
And I thought, that is not a good look for the shoe if it's not staying on his foot. But you know what? They're good-looking shoes.
Okay, things that you didn't like in this game.
Oh, there were so many. But if we're just going
to
keep it at two.
Yeah,
if we're going to keep it at two, I think the thing that I was most frustrated with was probably the lack of aggressiveness by Joe Ingles. I think especially last season when we saw him in the opening round series against Oklahoma City, I mean, the man was like, he was must-see TV when he's making shots over Paul George and talking crap and all that kind of stuff. But tonight he was completely like a non-factor in the game. He only took 4 shots, made just one of them, had only 3 points in the game. He made some really nice passes, I'll give him that, but I thought I really expected a lot more from Joe Ingles, it wasn't there tonight.
Joe, when he is the guy that's running the offense, he's not going to score as much,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure that was the issue against the Rockets. I'm not sure that was what was there because you had Ricky back and he was playing. Now, granted, they didn't play Ricky or Donovan at the start of that second quarter. So that automatically falls on either Howell Netto, who played in this game, and also Joe Ingles. But Joe Ingles a lot of times takes the aggressive spot or the main guy that's running the offense because he has the most experience, and he's taller, and he's great working with Derek Favors, especially on the lob and on the pick and roll. So, yeah, you need to see more from Joe Ingles, especially going forward offensively. I don't know what kind of what that means. I would like to see him, you know, we all like to see him take more threes, but I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive with his offense, whatever that means.
Yeah, totally.
Whether that means shooting more, sometimes I just like it when he's running the pick and roll more.
Yeah, he's fabulous. He's really good with the when he holds the ball in one hand and just lays it up, you know, whatever, that nice little finger roll he does, and it just wasn't there tonight.
Other thing that you didn't like about this game?
Too many Rockets got involved. I know you and JJ talked about this the other day. Trevor Allen and I also talked about this, how, you know, we expected James Harden to have a great game, but the real issue we were forecasting was, you know, whether or not the Rockets' second or third or even fourth guys would get involved. And frankly, there were just too many Rockets who made the Jazz look silly tonight. They had one, two, three, four, is that seven, really? Seven guys in double figures tonight. I haven't really seen that too much from the Jazz this year, where they allow an opposing team, where they allow seven members of the opposing team to have double figure scoring. So that seemed rare, and I think that was probably the name of the game there.
29 points for James Harden tonight, but the stat that you probably want to look at the most is the assist number. He had 10 assists in this game. So he was able to distribute the ball. Chris Paul has 7 assists in this game. If you're getting 17 assists from those two guys, that means that the Jazz defense is not being able to catch up to either someone on the pick and roll or on the pick and roll and the pass out, or James Harden rushing to the basket and he's passing it out for a three. Yeah, too many guys were able to contribute in this game. I mean, when Daniel House Jr., makes three for. I know it was he took.
He's
10
a G League guy. He should not be lighting up the Jazz like
yeah,
he was.
Yeah, yeah. He took for. He made three of his 3-pointers, but that kills you. When you got a guy like that killing you, that's bad news. When you have Kenneth Faried rolling to the basket and dunking it over you, and he's 4 for 5 and he has 11 points in this game, that's bad news. You can handle having James Harden go off against you. You can't handle having other guys go off against
definitely.
You. All right, those are your two?
Yes, let's hear your two, please.
My two was definitely the Jazz 3-point shooting. Was,
very
pathetic in this game. It would be an understatement. They took 27, and they only made 7. The Rockets made more than double that. They made 15 three-pointers in this game. That's not the complete reason why the Jazz lost this game, but it's one of the reasons why. The Rockets are going to be able to switch, or they are going to switch every matchup. You've got to be able to have someone that's going to break that matchup down and nail wide-open three-pointers, and you did not see that from the Jazz tonight. The best three-point shooter in this game, you'd have to say, was probably Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, he's the only one who made multiple three-pointers, yeah.
Yeah, three three-pointers. He was 3 for 7, 17 for 18 overall, and he ended up with 19 points in this game. Mm-hmm. Here's the one thing. This was one of the other topics I wanted to talk about. Let's just talk about it right now.
Sure.
No assists for Donovan Mitchell.
No.
As we talked about not too long ago, you and I were on the podcast, just about a week ago when the Jazz played Denver, so it was a little less than a week ago, and we talked about, wow, Donovan looks so good, he's seeing the floor better, but the Rockets just seem to have something against him every once in a while that where he is not able to complete passes, and so he's driving, and it's just like, well, I guess I got to shoot the ball.
And when he did pass, he was way off. He was 2 or 3 feet above guys' heads, dumping it out to the three. He was, I mean... Let's just put it this way. It was just not the game they needed from Donovan Mitchell tonight.
No, it wasn't. And he's your best guy, other than Ricky Rubio. And that's what impressed both of us so much, is that because Ricky Rubio was so aggressive offensively, that's what kept the Jazz in the game. Mm-hmm. I think Donovan tried that too, and it worked out very early. But as the game kept going along, he started to struggle with that a little bit more. They need more of Donovan Mitchell. He's their one big offensive star. Okay, the other thing that I didn't like in this game, the Jazz defense and drives. I think we've kind of talked about this. We talked about how the Jazz's defense really didn't perform the way they wanted to. Rudy Gobert could be blamed for some of this, but if you watch that game close enough, this was not Rudy Gobert's problem.
No,
Rudy
definitely
Gobert
not.
Was trying as best as he can, And the points that Clint Capella scored in this game, by the way, Capella ended up 8 for 13 from the floor with 16 points and a lot of slam dunks or, of course, buckets like Rudy right close to
easy
the basket.
Buckets, yeah.
That's because James Harden was able to get downhill and was able to find people, and he was able to find Clint Capella, and Rudy just didn't have a lot of help.
No, really. We saw Rudy go up to block the shot, as he very well should. And as soon as he went up, someone else was open, and Harden was able to dump it off to him every time. So,
if you're going to play that type of defense that Milwaukee plays, that we've
right.
talked about previously, the thing that you're going to need to do is whoever is on James Harden's hip pocket has to stay on his hip pocket.
Oh,
he has to provide
sure.
some sort of resistance on my part. In my opinion, excuse
mm-hmm.
me.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how this all evolves going forward, because it looked like the Jazz were starting to make a comeback in the third quarter, and it helped that James Harden had to go out. And then Houston just blitzed him. And I think a lot of that has to do with, I think a little bit has to do with how they're playing defense, but I think more of it has to do with how the Jazz played offense in this game.
Yeah, I would agree. Both were, I mean, just all around on both sides of the court, they were not themselves tonight. That's for sure.
It's easy to say that Utah Jazz didn't have enough firepower in this game, and they didn't, and we can rip on them. But Houston's defense was actually pretty impressive in this game, too.
Yeah.
They are one of those teams, like the Golden State Warriors, that they are able to play where they switch every single matchup. Boston is able to do that, too. And in a way, you could say Milwaukee is able to do that, too. And the Jazz just don't have the players, or you could say playmakers, at least in the starting unit, that are always able to break down a defense and create offense for other guys. The two guys that can do it, Ricky and Donovan, and we know they can do it, but it almost seems like they need a third person. Joe Ingles can do it sometimes, but he's better off the pick and roll. We already know what Derek Favors does. He's the roller. We know what Rudy Gobert does. He's the roller. Who's that other guy that's going to step up and provide playmaking ability for the Utah Jazz going forward against the Houston Rockets?
It seemed like they really wanted to get Royce O'Neal involved on that, with him, you know, creating plays and whatnot. And I like Royce. I think it was not a good game for him either on either ends of the court tonight, but I think he was also kind of a detriment to his team, and just I think he got really exposed for his offensive, I don't want to say inabilities, but you know where he lacks offensively.
Yeah. I understand that. I think Royce has kind of opened my eyes this season. I think he has done a lot better when he drives to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not going to be a guy that's able to. He's able to drive straight forward. He kind of is a little shifty when he picks up the ball, and he's doing better at passing the ball. But that's really not Royce's strength. I mean, his thing is, I'm going to play defense. I can hit three-pointers at a decent rate. But, I mean, he's a backup for a reason.
Yes.
And so I don't know if it's going to be Royce. I think Royce has improved. But, again, when I've seen Royce be a better playmaker for the Utah Jazz, it's usually against teams that are not great defensively.
Yes.
I'll be honest, you know, Jeremiah tweeted this out in the game. I didn't think that Houston's defense would be that good, from what we've seen this season. Mm-hmm. They were that good in this game against the Utah
Jazz. Oh, they were fabulous, yeah. I think like another inch, JJ's had, I can't remember who tweeted out. I think it might have been JJ, but I think it was really interesting that in this game, it really felt like Dante Exum could have made a difference on either end of the court. You know, I think Dante has become a better driver with the basketball and whatnot, and his length on defense was certainly missed as well. And it feels weird to say that they missed him because, in my opinion, Dante has not had a good season overall, but I think he was very much missed tonight.
So the other thing that we wanted to talk about in this game, and that's the turnovers. Jazz had too many turnovers in the first half, 9 turnovers in the first half, and that led to a lot of easy baskets by the Houston Rockets in this game. That was not a good thing either. And that, again, has to deal, I think, a lot with Houston's defense, how they played in this game, or maybe even you could say how the inability for the Jazz to figure out ways to get baskets. They're trying to be creative, but sometimes you can be over creative, and that that's detrimental to your team. So Jazz got a couple of days off before they play Houston again. They're not playing them again until Wednesday. So they get a couple of days off to try and figure things out. By the way, I predicted that the Jazz would win in seven. I know that's crazy. I expected a close first game. I didn't get what I was looking
for. Not even close, no.
Well, that's the way it goes. By the way, other games in the NBA, you probably paid attention a little bit to what was happening in the NBA over the weekend. I said that the Eastern Conference, that there was nothing exciting or noteworthy in the Eastern Conference, and then Philadelphia loses to Brooklyn, and Orlando beats Toronto, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, maybe Milwaukee will provide the Golden State Warriors if they end up matching up at the NBA Finals. Maybe they'll provide a good a good game, and Milwaukee at least came in and they hammered the Detroit Pistons.
Oh my gosh, that was a butt-kicking, yeah.
So NBA playoffs continue tomorrow, of course, continue on Tuesday, and then the Jazz are back in action in Houston on Wednesday, and then they're back in Salt Lake City coming up on Saturday. I think Austin and I are both going to be at that game. I don't know. Are you going to be at that game?
Oh, totally.
I'm going to be at that game. Austin's going to be at that game. So we'll have – but we're going to actually have Jazz Notes podcast throughout the week. Every single day we're going to have Jazz Notes podcast. I'll be a host of some of them.
Austin will be myself. I will host him
Austin
as well.
We have a lot of guys that are going to be contributing to the Jazz Notes podcast going forward. So make sure you stay tuned. Make sure you tweet at us too. Austin,
please.
What's your Twitter handle?
It's at Austin Facer, AustinFacer. I have a lot of good commentary on life, pop culture,
dating life.
My dating life is a little non-existent right now, but you know, other things.
You mean working nights and sports? That kind of hurts your dating life.
Believe it or not, yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah. My name is Cleon Wall. By the way, you've probably heard me a lot on the Jazz Notes podcast. My Twitter handle is at KSL Cleon. Let us know what you think of the Jazz Notes podcast. Let us know what you think of the Jazz in this first game. We'll have another new Jazz Notes podcast coming up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all week long. It is powered by KSLSports.com. And also, you can find it on the KSL News Radio app. We'll talk to you soon.